Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
Oh, yeah. 100 years ago today in Major League Baseball, the most tragic pitch in the history of baseball. I grew up hearing about this from my baseball nut father. Maybe you did as well. It was at the Polo Grounds in New York, a weird stadium that was in an oval because they played polo there. You might have picked that up from the name of the stadium. But it was 88 degrees. It was muggy. It was a little bit after 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and they were playing. The Indians were in a tie with the White Sox. It was a big game. The Yankees were a half game back and were throwing their ace, a pitcher named Carl Mays, a sidearm pitcher who was really good, had 18 wins, was going for his 19th win at the time, 100 years ago today, middle of August in New York. Indians were up 3-0 through four innings on Carl Mays, and Ray Chapman was the shortstop leading off the fifth inning for the Indians, a very well-liked player, a popular guy, popular member of the Indians. Chapman and the Indians up 3-0 and walked out to the plate. And, you know, Carl Mays, not just a sidearmer, was really a submariner before they called them that. Think Kelly Wunsch. We're talking about a delivery where he's a knuckle dragger, lower than Steve Cishek. You know, really low. Who was the guy on Oakland? God, who am I thinking of? He was also a Marlins closer. Yeah, not Bradford. There's more. Keep digging. Yes, Bradford is one of them, but there was an Oakland A who was also a closer for the Marlins, and I'm not talking about Cishek, who was a submariner, and he literally looked like a knuckle dragger.
Brad Ziegler.
That's it. Thank you, sir. Brad Ziegler. That Carl Mays threw it like Brad Ziegler did. And Ray Chapman, you know what he was great at? Was bunting. And he set up to bunt. And Mays had been planning to go down and away and decided to go up and in. And Ray Chapman was set up to bunt. And the pitch came in high and tight. Carl Mays picked the ball up after it hit Ray Chapman in the head and threw it over to first base, where Wally Pipp got the out. Yes, pre-Lou Gehrig, Wally Pipp got the out. And then Tris Speaker is coming up next, and it's going to be a more important at bat. So everybody's looking at that. But then as that was happening, somebody screamed, "Time! Time!" And there was Ray Chapman on the ground, completely unconscious. And somebody screams, "We need a doctor. Is there a doctor in the house?" And it's 100 years ago today, and Ray Chapman ended up dying. Killed on the field 100 years ago. And it's always in the back of my mind as to the dangers of throwing a baseball at somebody's head. I know helmets are now used, and helmets are good. And there are ways to protect oneself. But this happened on a baseball field. Dude was hit in the head. It's a sidearm pitcher against a guy in bunting position after a change in approach, a change in the plan. And this can happen. So don't throw at anybody's freaking head. And I've felt that way about some of the greatest pitchers in the game. Pedro Martinez was too much of a headhunter, man. Too much. You want to hit somebody, you want to scare somebody, you want to brush them back, you've got control. Keep it in the middle of the body. Brush them back that way. I know that it's exciting to, you know, as a pitcher, see a guy back away and drop down to his butt, and you've terrorized him. And maybe that makes your breaking ball on the outside corner that much more difficult to hit. But don't throw at somebody's head. Ray Chapman forever in the back of my mind. That's 100 years ago today. It's Matt Spiegel here with you on 670 The Score. Also 100 years ago today, the Negro Leagues were starting. The Negro Leagues were getting going. And usually there is a day that baseball honors Jackie Robinson, that everybody wears number 42, and it happens in April. This year, they've found a way to make it happen here in August. And today, you'll see everybody in 42. As Gonzo told us earlier, you will see the Cubs wearing a patch on the shoulder. And the Cubs are going to show a virtual first pitch video. I think the White Sox are too. But the Cubs one is going to feature Negro Leagues Baseball Museum President Bob Kendrick and the Cubs Hall of Famer Billy Williams. Yesterday on Inside the Clubhouse, Bruce Levine and I had a chance to talk to Jerry Hairston Jr. Now, Jerry Hairston Jr. is a third-generation MLB ball player, one of only three third-generation MLB families, along with the Boones and the Bells. The Hairstons had five members of the family play big league baseball. Like the Delahunty brothers in the early part of the century, there were five of them. The Hairstons, it was over three different generations. Also, there were four other Hairstons that played in the minors. Nine Hairstons playing professional baseball. Amazing. And the grandfather, the archetypal Hairston, the big boss baseball man of the family, was Sam Hairston, who played in the Negro Leagues and also played 1 year for the Chicago White Sox. Here's Jerry Hairston Jr. yesterday on Inside the Clubhouse with me and Bruce talking about his grandfather and the 100th anniversary of the Negro Leagues.
Well, first and foremost, we are very appreciative of Major League Baseball, you know, recognizing the 100th anniversary of the Negro Leagues. And, you know, like you mentioned, tomorrow they're going to be wearing number 42 league-wide. Jackie Robinson's number. So really appreciate that. I know a lot of players are happy about that. But when we talk about the Negro Leagues, you know, obviously I think about my grandfather, Sam, and the many ball players, talented ball players, that really sacrificed a whole lot to give opportunities to so many, not just black players, but Latin players as well. There wouldn't be Ken Griffey Jr., there wouldn't be Frank Thomas, there wouldn't be Sammy Sosa, there wouldn't be so many black and Latino players if it wasn't for them. So it's great that they are recognizing the history of the Negro Leagues and how important and how vital it was for that process to take place so others can have an opportunity. So definitely appreciative of my grandfather. I know my grandfather, when I used to talk to him when he was alive, there was never anything bitter. You know, he thought it was an incredible opportunity to play in that league, play with and against great players And I grew up learning about Double Duty Ratcliffe, Cool Papa Bell, Josh Gibson, Larry Doby, so many great players. And just very fortunate that my grandfather did play a little bit in the big leagues and was able to pass on the game of baseball to his sons and his grandsons.
That's amazing that you had that opportunity to learn that stuff from him. Jerry Hairston Jr. was playing at Southern Illinois in 96 and 97, Missouri Valley Conference Freshman of the Year, playing in the Cape Cod Leagues, and your grandfather passed in 97. But it's wonderful to hear and have read before, but tell us a little more about the kind of conversations you had with him and some of the stories he would tell you about those players and about his experience in the Negro Leagues. What a great gift in your life to be able to have a living and sharp-witted grandfather around to tell you those stories for as long as he did.
You know, and you made a great point. It definitely was a gift and something that I started to really appreciate after I started to grow up a little bit in my 20s and early 30s. But, you know, as a kid, you know, learning about Black history in school, you know, we do some projects, you know, about Negro League players. And I remember a kid in seventh grade doing a project on the Negro Leagues, and he talked about Double Duty Ratcliffe. And I was like, man, Double Duty Ratcliffe was at my house about 6 months ago. You know, so, you know, it's amazing. You know, I started to really appreciate, you know, all these great players that were friends with my grandfather and friends with my dad. You know, and Double Duty Ratcliffe spent a lot of time in Chicago. In his later years, he lived in Chicago. So, yeah, you know, I got a chance to know him. So I was very fortunate to know so many, you know, ex-Negro League players because of my family. You know, so I was, you know, I'll tell you a quick story. So, you know, my grandfather, you know, a guy that obviously was a no-nonsense type of person, you know, always shot you straight. You know, and I remember when I was a kid, you know, I think it was in Naperville Little League, and I had a rough game. You know, so, hey, man, I drove all the way up here to see two pop-ups, and I was like 10, 12 years old at the time. And my dad's like, Dad, you can't. My dad was like, Dad, you can't talk to him like that. You can't talk to him like that. And he goes, shut up, boy. I'm talking to my grandson. And the next day, I go 3 for 3 with 3 ropes. But that was that motivation, even at a young age. I needed that. I love that about my grandfather. So, again, I was very fortunate to be around him, know him. And he was the one who urged me to sign after my sophomore year of college. He said, hey, man, you're ready to go. And for him to give me that seal of approval, like, hey, let's go. You're ready to play pro ball. That gave me added confidence. And I knew if my grandfather said I was ready, I was ready.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool when your grandpa is somebody who played and who played like that, and Jerry Hairston to realize the power of having that man in his life. Just pretty damn cool. Ernie Banks played in the Negro Leagues and ended up a Cub. There were others with the Cubs. Sam Hairston played in the Negro Leagues and ended up a White Sox. There were others with the White Sox as well. It is Hit and Run here on 670 The Score. Looking forward to seeing all those 42s out there and any of the tie-ins on the broadcast this afternoon. We have lineups for both teams. Today, John Lester against the former Korean League pitcher Jack Lindblom for the Cubs over at Wrigley Field. 1:20 is game time. 12:20 is pregame time right here on 670 The Score. Chris Bryant leads off. Then Rizzo, Contreras, Schwarber, Steven Souza Jr. in left field. Center field, Ian Happ. Right field, Jason Hayward batting seventh. Nico Horner playing short, hits eighth. Jason Kipnis, the start at second base, and hits nine. You heard there is no Javier Baez in that lineup. So Javi getting the day off. After some brutal at-bats yesterday, David Ross asked about it after the game, defended Javi, and says that he still hits the ball hard when he does. Javi's an obvious huge asset, not an asshat, but an asset in the field. But man, offensively, Javi is, as Joe Maddon always used to say, is taking out the driver. He's got the driver working just about all the time, regardless of the situation. Here's the magic, by the way, in the opposite field approach for Javier Baez, and really for a lot of other guys who swing like that, and why Maddon was always on Javi to do it. Because, first of all, he's got enough power to hit it out to the opposite field, as you know. Second of all, when you are thinking oppo, if you're a little bit early, you're pulling that for a home run, or maybe you're hitting it to center field for a home run. You're hitting it hard. It also, you know what having the opposite field approach does? It puts it in your head that you have a split second more the 6/10ths of a second that you have as you're deciding whether to swing, it's a little bit longer when you're thinking opposite field. So you're kind of subconsciously tricking your own brain and helping yourself to give yourself a little more time to figure out what the pitch is, where it is, and whether to swing at it in general. So no Javi Baez in the lineup today. Good for Steven Souza Jr., by the way, having his best moment in baseball in 2 years with that late home run to tie the game. That was awesome. He's an extremely talented guy with a chance to be an effective player for a few more years here. Like a five-tool guy when healthy, who can steal a base, can play all of the outfield positions, and he gets another shot in the lineup today against Josh Lindblom. For the White Sox going against the Cardinals today, Tim Anderson leads off again. Yoan Moncada hits second, Grandal third, Abreu fourth, Eloy Jimenez fifth, Encarnacion sixth, Luis Robert down at seven. Leave him right there. That's okay. You don't have to move him up, because you want your grinders up top. Anderson needs to be a little more grindy and see more pitches. Moncada does. Grandal does. Jimenez was more of a grinder in the minors than he has shown at times. He does pounce and ambush, but that's okay. If you have that reputation as a guy who will see pitches, it's okay to pounce and ambush. You can do a lot on pitch one, pitch two. So it's a balance, but Jimenez needs to be a little bit more patient. His comments after the game yesterday were thoughtful, and we should get to those at some point here. Maybe we will with Ryan McGuffey next, or a little bit later on in the hour. Robert, seven. Nomar Mazara in right field. Danny Mendick, excuse me, hits ninth, and Dallas Keuchel on the mound today. Nomar Mazara in right field. Saw the stat from Chuck Garfine earlier that Nomar Mazara is not getting it done against righties. And Adam Engel actually is. Nomar Mazara against right-handed pitchers, a .333 on base, a .190 slugging, 3-for-21 with a double, no RBIs. Adam Engel, ironically enough, versus righties as a right-handed hitter, .313 on base, .467 slugging, 8-for-30 with three doubles, a homer, and two RBIs. And an obvious defensive upgrade out there for Engel. Is it time to just let Engel play instead of Mazara? You're talking about your eight hitter. You're supposed to be able to give Mazara a little time, but he certainly does need to produce. And now you are one third of the season in. You're 10-11. It doesn't look good. We're going to see more Adam Engel in right field than Nomar Mazara. I'm cool with that. 670 The Score is where you are. We will talk to Ryan McGuffey, Chuck's partner with the Sox Talk podcast, at 10:40. Tony Gwynn Jr. joining us at 11. Chris Kampka, the Sultan of Stat from NBC Sports Chicago, at 11:40. We're here until 12:20 today for Cubs pregame. When we come back, a little bit more on the embarrassing actions of those players who violated protocol and the serious damage that their organization might be carrying out on the both of them. We'll do that next on Hit and Run right here on 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
The vibe I got.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo. The mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
God, I was in Cleveland for those two games. The vibe I got the second day was that this is pretty much probably going to be the end for Clevenger's stay in Cleveland. That there's just been too many issues, you know, off the field with him, and this is probably the last straw. Getting back to their time in Lake County, I was reading a story which says their service time could be really manipulated against them to where this could really cost them, because we're talking about prorated service time here, and you know, a few days becomes a week, and it adds up to the point where these guys could lose a full year of service time. Or in the case of Plesac, he's not going to be arbitration eligible for a little bit longer now. So this is very costly, but at the same time, I mean, this pandemic's bigger than baseball. I don't think these guys realize it, and they're going to pay a price for it, I think rightfully so.
That was great stuff from Mark Gonzalez of the Tribune. Glad I asked him about the Indians situation last hour. Mike Clevenger and Zach Plesac in trouble. And it really speaks to all of society and all of sports that you got to be looking out for more than just yourself. You really do. Because it's not just about you and your perceived invincibility and your perceptions of what is allowable. When you go out with, what was it, 8 buddies, and you go out someplace, then you go back to somebody's house and you play some card games and all that, and that's a complete and utter violation of protocol in terms of leaving the hotel at all. Not just leaving the hotel, but doing that with 8 of your pals. And then Clevenger lying to his teammates the next day as they're talking about it. Man, that's Zach, please, can you believe what Zach did? That's brutal. Mike, what do you think? Yes, I agree. It is brutal. Let's make him drive home. All right, let's get on the flight together. Hey, while we're on the flight, let's talk. And Mike, hey, Mike, I heard you were out with him. What, me? No, no, I wasn't. And yet here you are on the flight with us, exposing teammates. The hell's wrong with you? And then Zach Plesac doubles down in a really ugly way. He puts out a video on his Instagram while he's driving, looking into the camera between the seats, I guess, up on the dash, where I don't know what he was using to hold the phone, but he's one hand on the wheel, driving, eyes darting all over the place, and blaming us bad jerks in the media. Here's a bit of Zach Plesac's quote apology, unquote, on Instagram the other day.
What's up, guys? Happy Thursday. I want to get on here and clear the air on some stuff, kind of voice my opinion, voice some raw emotion to you guys, and get out the truth so that you guys can kind of understand what's happening, so we can all be on the same page, because the media really is terrible, man. The media is terrible, and they do some evil things to create stories and to make things sound better. Makes things sound worse. And truthfully, I'm disgusted the way the media has handled this whole situation surrounding our team. Yeah, out in Chicago, we played the White Sox, and a day or a couple days prior to leaving for this trip, the MLB came up with these new protocols that required a curfew and some other things that would keep us more isolated as baseball players and contain us more in like a bubble type sense. And after my start, I went out to dinner with some buddies. We ended up going back to his place, same group that we went to dinner with, and we opened up baseball cards, picked our top 2 dudes from each pack. We're throwing bets down, you know, just having a good time hanging out. We broke curfew. I came back late, and I was reported by MLB security being out in public and coming back late to curfew. And the president of baseball operations decided to quarantine me for 3 days, so that just in case, you know, if I was exposed to COVID, then it wouldn't spread to the rest of the team. 10 people or less is considered a very safe gathering, especially if you're 6 feet apart.
Completely and utterly did not get the message. Completely and utterly did not realize the gravity of what he's done. Blaming the media. Poo-pooing the entire thing. Gross. And what happened was the players all got together on Monday in Detroit. Before we get there, let's go back to Friday when Dan Plesac, Zach's uncle, was on with McNeil and Parkins. He was on with them talking about this, and Dan Plesac not happy with his nephew.
I tried to express to my nephew to let your right arm do the talking, right? Because that is the avenue. And I think what gets lost with a lot of athletes is, you know, the football throwing, the tackling, the catching, the baseball throwing, the hitting, that takes care of everything else. Because people really don't care. Like, they want to watch you play. They want to watch you perform. And I do say this, that a lot of younger players and the younger millennials, you know, there's a presence on social media, on Instagram and Twitter, that they feel like they have to uphold, you know what I mean? And the bottom line is, the really important thing are the 28 other players on that Indian staff.
They were let down. Those other players on that team felt let down and angry. Adam Plutko was talking about this. Adam Plutko, Indians pitcher, who was going to make another start in place of Clevinger, was talking about this and said that those teammates hurt them badly.
They hurt us bad. They lied to us. They sat here in front of you guys and publicly said things that they didn't follow through on. And it's going to be up to them. It really is. And, you know, I'll let them sit here and tell you how they're going to earn their trust back. I don't need to put words in their mouths.
They didn't earn the trust back. On Thursday night, as the Indians made their way to Detroit, to Birmingham, Michigan, where they stay in the hotel when they're playing against the Tigers, Mike Clevinger and Zach Plesac were driving their cars individually, not together, put all their gear in their cars, drove to Michigan. At the team hotel Friday morning, Clevinger and Plesac addressed the team, the organization, the coaching staff. It was a Q&A, people listening threw comments their way, had an open conversation. After the meeting, the president of the team, Chris Antonetti, the GM, Mike Chernoff, whose dad runs the Fan in New York and even more in the sports radio business, Terry Francona and the pitching coach, they got together, and then they optioned them down, sent them to East Lake, Ohio. So they had to drive all the way to Michigan, stay in a hotel one night, and then turn around and drive back to East Lake, Ohio. And they're going to get screwed. And so it goes. Mike Clevinger, you heard Gonzo say this could be the end of him in Cleveland, 27 days short of reaching the service time that he would need to stay on track, become a free agent after 2022. Might get screwed out of that. Zach Plesac, not going to hit arbitration quite as early as he would have, potentially. Damage to their careers, to their livelihoods, and deservedly so. It's 670 The Score. Matt Spiegel is who you're listening to on Hit and Run. Big, big stuff, you know? And it's a really ugly, ugly look. Yeah, we broke curfew, he says, even in that snippet. Completely and utterly missing the point, justifying what he did. And as a texter says, giving us radio and television gold. few other things we're going to get to here along the way. In a moment, we're going to take a break and then talk to Ryan McGuffey of the White Sox Talk broadcast. I have felt this way in general. And yesterday only kind of cemented it for me. I love our broadcast teams in this town. On television. And certainly Pat and Ron here on the radio. Okay? Absolutely love our broadcast teams. One of the things I missed the most, and I am reveling in the most, is hanging out for 3 to 4 hours, or 2 to 3 hours, with Benetti and Stone, with Pat and Ron right here on the Score. And you'll hear them coming up pregame at 12:20 with Zach Zabin, and then the game at 1:20. And with Len Casper and Jim Deshays on Marquee. And before that, on the other networks. I think Len and JD are terrific together. They have a well-earned chemistry. They've worked together for years. They communicate well with each other. It is a dry humor, but it works for me very much. They are curious. They'll throw out trivia and tidbits and questions strategically. They're open-minded. They make the most of the room that a baseball game provides conversationally, thematically. Such a good broadcast team. I don't think they need anybody else. I know what Marquee is doing with all these other guys and trying to get them in there. And because of COVID, they were going to be doing even more than this, but it hasn't worked. Things are really, really awkward when you're not personally there with each other. It has worked the best with Dempster, when Dempster is one booth over and the relationship is really solid and they're close enough that they can probably make a little bit of eye contact, if need be, from one booth over. And also just Dempster is completely locked in. He's here and he's present. And the relationship is there. The stuff with others... And with Mark Grace has been awkward. And yesterday, Grace obviously went to a really ugly place and talking about his ex-wife. He ended up apologizing about it after the game because he realized that it was an ugly place. And Len and JD were in a very helpless position. I loved Len throwing in a little meathead. Said, well, you know, does that make you meathead? Well, the moment sure did, in my opinion. I don't need to hear anybody but Len and JD personally, except maybe me. That would be the only thing. I would say if they want to do a third person in the booth, you with me on this, Sean? Like if Marquee really wants to do a third person in the booth, or for that matter, if NBC Sports Chicago wants to do a third person in the booth, I would recommend me. Other than that, probably nobody.
Yeah, I would say you. I mean, we know that you have great calls of guys being thrown out at second base. But yeah, I think that especially in the time of COVID, I don't think it's worth it. Just have the two guys.
It does. I don't think it works in the time of COVID, man. I hate doing talk shows with partners, in COVID. I have found a way to do it with a partner. You know what we do? When me and Danny Parkins did a couple weeks together, when I was in for Mac, we did a 4-hour FaceTime call. So we can look at each other and actually get honest reactions and have a chance to find the rhythm that it takes to really do the job well. It's just so difficult. So for that reason, and just because Len and JD are so good, I'd love to see them be the ones allowed to do the broadcast by themselves.
We've got to play at the plate. Descalso is going to be dead.
Yeah. See? I mean, that's what you get if you add me into the mix. Pat and Ron, maybe Mitch is listening, you know? That's the kind of bonus you could get. So the only third man in the booth I would recommend is me. It's Matt Spiegel here on 670 The Score. We'll come back and talk White Sox with Ryan McGuffey next. Tony Gwynn Jr. at the top of the hour. Really looking forward to that.
In his first Chicago radio interview regarding the firing of Jim Boylan and the new head coach search, Bulls Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations, Arturis Karnišovas, will talk exclusively to Chicago's sports morning show, Mully and Haw, tomorrow morning at 8:30, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's official radio home of the Bulls, a Radio.com sports station.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Bullpen up and going. Genesis Cabrera, brother Deuteronomy, pitched in the Seattle organization. I will
always be your sledgehammer.
Come on, Benetti, really? You got to go to Gabriel solo? Come on. I know the Lamb Lies Down on Broadway reference might not work. Carpet crawlers? You do that next time there's like a worm burner going through the infield. Call it a carpet crawler in honor of Genesis. It'd be especially outstanding if Genesis Cabrera is on the mound. That from NBC Sports Chicago yesterday. That's the only place you find White Sox games, and they've been really, really fun to have and to watch and bring into our lives. Let's welcome in the senior producer from NBC Sports Chicago, who is also the head of content about White Sox stuff over at the White Sox Talk podcast, Ryan McGuffey, who joins us right now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park. What's up, Guff? How are you?
I'm good. I'm hoping today's better, but I'm good, Matt. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. Yeah, yesterday was rough. I spent a large portion of the first hour talking about the collective offensive approach of the White Sox, breaking down the 34 pitches they allowed. Who's the kid? Woodford, right? Jake Woodford, yep. Making his MLB debut. 34 pitches in three innings in the second game after you got skunked in the first one. Giolito threw 34 pitches in the first inning of the first game. I know it's hard to teach, but they need to learn to have a better collective offensive approach, don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, look, when you have Danny Mendick that has a higher OPS right now than the three guys you brought in to be a big part of your offense, and Yasmani Grandal, Edwin Encarnacion, and Nomar Mazara, you know, with all due respect to Danny Mendick, you would look at that and say, wow, Mendick's having an MVP-type season. Well, no, Danny Mendick's actually probably one of the nice surprises for the White Sox, and the other three are colossal disappointments. And those are the approaches that you brought in guys like Yasmani Grandal to teach some of these guys' approach. And you've made a hitting coach switch, and right now it's just not translating.
So what is it? Because Grandal still has good at-bats here and there, yeah. And Encarnacion still has good at-bats here and there. But the mix just isn't really happening right now. And I don't know, you know, it's so difficult to teach. I don't even want to point at Menachino because to me, I guess it's larger. It feels like it's larger, like it should be an organizational mandate and should be happening from the very tippity top on down.
I mean, it's a scapegoat, right? Like, everybody wanted Todd Steverson gone. He's gone, and, like, here we are again. So, yeah, I mean, it has to be something. It's top-down. I mean, here's my thing. Like, everyone wants to find somebody to blame right now, you know, especially when it's bad. And with the White Sox, this roller coaster is just incomplete. Like, there are times when it's, like, really fun, and you laugh, and you can't wait for, like, the next drop. And then when it drops, there's nothing, like, there's just nothing left on the roller coaster. So you're kind of waiting. That's like where we're at right now. There's been some fun and there's been a lot of like misery. And I tweeted yesterday something like after the first game about how they're 9-6 in their last 15, but it's about how they're 9-6. You know, it's about if it was nine, like if you had told me at 1-4, they're going to go 9-6 in their next 15 and they're going to get back to 500. You'd probably go, okay, like that's good. They're going to be playing better baseball. And life's going to be better. And it's just kind of like, there's just so much. It's not just the hitting. I mean, the hitting is just feast or famine. You know, they've had major injuries, but like no one's making, like other teams have their own things. Look at the Cardinals. I mean, the Marlins, everyone's got their own, the Indians, you know, you were talking about them in your last segment. Everyone's got stuff going on and it's really hard to kind of put your finger on the pulse of, whether it be offense or pitching or whatever it might be, there's just very little room for error right now with the White Sox.
Yeah, it's rough all around. There were defensive miscues yesterday. There were bullpen issues from a bullpen that's been really good. I mean, Evan Marshall got hit up around yesterday, and he was, you know, probably the best guy in that bullpen for the first couple weeks of the season. What could tangibly happen right now? Is it... It's only 21 games in, But is it time to not give Nomar Mazara the time and space to figure things out and write, and let Adam Engel, who gives you professional at-bats and a much higher caliber of defense, let Adam Engel play out there? Is it time to do that, perhaps?
I think it's, the leash should be tight and short for a lot of, you know, for everyone. I mean, but yeah, I mean, Nomar Mazara is, you know, we heard a lot about, you know, the untapped potential the White Sox were getting with Nomar Mazara. Like, we're not getting Texas Rangers Nomar Mazara. Like, if Texas Rangers Nomar Mazara was hitting eighth, I thought Nomar Mazara hitting eighth with the potential for 20 and 80 was a very dangerous, sneaky eight hitter, and that would be really good. And right now, it's just really bad. Now, I'm trying to, like, he was sick and fought back, and he's back in the lineup. Other players have done that too. Yoan Moncada was sick, came back, was really good for a while, and now he's kind of in a rut. But yes, I mean, I do agree with you. Adam Engel showed in his play, like when he did make starts and when he did make, you know, part-time appearances, that he was lively from the onset. I thought it was the best Adam Engel we've ever seen, to be quite honest with you. His approach at the plate was good. He was working counts. He even walked, and that was something talking with Adam Engel in past years that he was very aware of, even though he's not that type of hitter. So I do agree with you that if you're getting – it's one thing to let a guy come out of something when the rest of the offense is working. When the whole offense seems to be feast or famine or broken at the same time, you got to – there's not a lot of room to have a guy hitting 167 in your lineup when he's rolling over ground balls a lot of the time. So I do agree with you.
Yeah, it's one of the awkwardness, one of the bits of awkwardness about this season is that it's a very worthy flyer to take a shot at Nomar Mazara in a full season when you've got the time and space to work it out. But all of a sudden, you don't have the time and space to work it out. Last thing for you, Guff, tell people what a loss it is to lose Leury García for the rest of the year, not back until October, if there is an October.
It's funny because so many people, like, he's one of those guys that you'd never appreciate until he's gone. And Ricky probably wouldn't say it like in a media session, but if you pulled him aside and asked him who his favorite player was, I really believe in my heart that he'd say Leury García. He has he's that Swiss Army knife that every team covets and not every team has. And I've been saying this the last few years in the NBC Sports Chicago newsroom that he, like Joe Maddon, would love Leury García because he'd find a way to use him in every spot. And honestly, like, he's one of those guys that seems to frustrate you, and then you realize why he's on the team and why his role is so valuable. To lose him for the rest of the season, now the spotlight is shining on Danny Mendick. It is right now, unfortunately, shining on Ryan Goins. Until you get Nick Madrigal back, I mean, your middle infield until last week was completely out. So Tim coming back is a big, big help. They need Nick Madrigal back. They need Danny Mendick now to be their Swiss Army knife to fill that Leury García role, which he has the capability. He's a poor man's Leury García, which tells you how valuable Leury García is.
It's true. Thanks, Guff. Appreciate it, man. Have a great day. We'll talk to you.
Anytime, buddy. Absolutely.
You got it. You got it. It's Ryan McGuffey from the Sox Talk podcast. Hey, today at 11 o'clock, today at 11 a.m., we'll be joined by Radio.com Sports MLB insider Tony Gwynn Jr. with a look at West Coast baseball and more. Looking forward to doing that next when we come back on Hit and Run right here on 670 The Score.
Blackhawks lose. They fall in Game 3 to the Golden Knights of Round 1 of the Stanley Cup Playoffs. They're now down 3-0. Keep it here on The Score as we recap the loss, analyze what went wrong, and get you ready for a win or go home Game 4. Right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score, our radio.com sports station.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh. I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.